Mishnah Yomis for Shabbos Kodesh, the first day of Adar Rishon. Aleph Adar Rishon, Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masechta Ksubos, Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. 11th chapter, the first Mishnah. Says the Mishnah. Almona Nizoines Minichse Yesomi. An almona widow is supported, will be maintained by the properties of the orphans. The orphans have an estate, they got a Yerusha, and part of the conditions of Ksuba is that she has to be supported by the estate. Masa Yodea Shelahan. And therefore, whatever she produces will belong to the orphans. The orphans take control of what she makes. If she makes income, they get that income. Why? It's compensation for them giving her mazonos. In a similar way that the husband, when he was alive, was zoche in what she produces as compensation for the support that he provides for his wife, the mazonos. The Gemara explains that our Mishnah goes according to the minhag of Anshei Yerushalayim and the Galil. What they used to do is they used to write that the mona is entitled to the upkeep or to her support as long as she's unmona, as long as she's a widow. And that would be written in the Ksuba that way. Which means that if the orphans decided, for example, to give her a Ksuba and say, we don't want to support you anymore, they can't do that. That's why the gifts of the mission is almona nizoines. A widow will be sustained. As long as she hasn't asked for the ksuba, she will get support from the nichse Yerusha, whether the yesomim, the four orphans, like it or not. They cannot force her to take the ksuba and get rid of her. However, according to for that reason, they keep what she produces. However, according to the minhag of Anshe Yehuda, the people in Yehuda, They gave the option, in their custom, in their region, the orphans had the right to be able to give her the ksuba and say, listen, you're the wife of our father, but we're giving you the ksuba, and that's it. Don't ask for any more handouts for support. They have the right to do that, according to them, in the people of Anshei Yehuda. And therefore, the girsa would be not in our Mishnah, almona nizoines, but almona hanizones. If the girsa will be the widow that is being fed and is being supported by the orphans, and that would be according to the minhag of Anshei Yehuda, because not all the time a widow would be supported, because the almona can be given the choice by the yesomim against her will. They've got the right. And therefore, our Mishnah is coming to tell us that even according to the men of Yehuda, that custom, as long as they haven't given her the ksuba, as long as she hasn't taken the ksuba, what they give her in the support they give her is compensated by them keeping what she produces. Ve'en chayovin bikvarosa. And they're not obligated to pay the costs of burial. Husband is chayv to pay the burial, but that's a compensation for the fact that he inherits her. If she dies first, he will inherit her. It's Yerusha. But the Yorshim that are not her children, therefore, since they're not Yorisha, so therefore they're not chayv to bury her. But Yorshah or Yorshik Subasa, but her own children that are Yorshik Suba, they have to pay for the burial, because and they will collect it from the yorshim of the husband. They will chayov in bikrosa. They chayv in her burial. Mishnah base. We said, since the properties of the estate are mortgaged for the payment of the ksuba, for the ksuba min almana, and as long as she hasn't asked for the ksuba, she has to be sustained from these properties, as we looked at the previous Mishnah. Amish is going to teach us how a woman has the power to sell properties of the Yerusha to secure her mazonos, to secure her support of food, or to secure collection of a ksuba. Let's see the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Almona, a widow, bein min ha'erusin, whether she's a widow from just erusin, they only had kiddushin, where she was not even yet getting sustained from the properties of the Yerusha yet, where she can't get the next Yerusha, and therefore the only reason she's coming to Beis Din, or the only reason she's coming to collect, is to collect a ksuba. Bein min hanesuin, or whether she's coming after she's already been taken as a, under the chuppah, she's already been living with her husband, and then her husband died, whether she's a widow from nesuin, where the yorshim are chayiv to give her mezonos, and now she's asking either for mezonos or for the ksubah, mocheres sheloi bebeistin. She can sell the properties of her husband without a beis din. She doesn't have to take the trouble of going each time to the beis din. And the Gemara explains what's the reason. Because no man would want his wife to have the humiliation of appearing in beis din and going and selling for once and then coming back later on to sell more for more mezonos. A husband would care for the kopet of his wife and not required to do it. Nevertheless, she can't do it completely on her own. She still needs three valuers, three people who are experienced in valuation, but she doesn't need to do it in the formality of a beis din. This is the opinion of the Tana Kama. So it makes no difference whether she's coming to collect a ksuba only, in the case of Arison, or whether she's coming for nisuin. After nisuin, she's coming mezonos as well, or ksuba. Rabbi Shimon says, min hanisuin, if she's selling it for mezonos, which would be the case, it's for nisuin, v'cheres shelo beis din, she can sell it without beis din. Why? Because you can't expect her to wait and to fast until beis din, what? Where is she going to get her food from? Until she gets her and sees a beis din. So there, yes, Rabbi Shimon says, there she can do it without a beis din. She just gets three valuers that can help her sell the right amount of land, what she needs for food, fine. But min ha'erusin, if she's selling the property, she wants to sell the properties to supply her ksuba, le'timka ela beis din. Why mipenei shein la'mezonos? Because she's not now selling it to get mezonos food. She's selling it for the ksuba. Chol shein la'mezonos. And when she's not selling it for food, she's only selling it for the ksuba. And there's not really so much bother to go to the beis din. Why? Because the ksuba is a one-off occasion. It's a one-off thing she has to collect. It's not like mezonos, ongoing support. So for that, says Rabbi Shimon, she needs to go to beis din. Le'timka ela beis din. So we make a distinction in our Mishnah between Nisuin and Erusin in Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is like the Tana Kama, that it makes no difference whether she's an almana widow from this Erusin and she's only collecting ksuba, or she's a widow from Nisuin. Either way, she can sell it without having to go through the formality of a beis din. There is a machalikus among the Meforshim as to when Rabbi Shimon says min hanisuin, and he says she's an almana from nisuin, and she's selling it not in beis din, is that only for mezonos or even for the ksuba? Some of us learn that she can sell it without beis din, not only for the mezonos, but even for the ksuba, even though the ksuba is one off, and the logic doesn't apply really about going again and again. It doesn't matter. If she's had nisuin and she's collecting for mezonos or ksuba, then she can do it without a beis din. Other Mefarshim will know that Rabbi Shimon is so strict that he holds that even from Nisuin, if she's collecting from Nisuin, she can only sell it for mezonos without a beis din. But if she's selling for the ksuba, then even if it's only from Nisuin, she's a widow from Nisuin, she needs to go to a beis din. Right, it's only and that's because it's a one-off thing. Either way, the halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon. The halacha is like the Tana Kama, and therefore, whether it's nisuin, she's an almana from nisuin, or she's a widow from erusin, she can sell without beis din. Just needs three valuers.